Welcome to Augmented Humanity. Our guests are modern explorers working at the intersection of technology and the humanities. They help us to understand ourselves and the worlds we create in this digital age. They are thinkers, creators, makers, and academics working in diverse fields like geography, the visual arts, performing arts, storytelling, and literature. I'm your host, Craig Goldsmith.
I'm your host, Ellen Dornan.
On this program, we're joined by artist and educator Agnes Chavez, who explores the interrelationship between art, science, technology, and nature as a process and tool for social change. As an artist, her work focuses on data visualization, light, sound, and space. As a curriculum developer, she applies the latest art, science, and technological innovations to youth programming and education. She's a founding member of the Paseo Festival and the founder of the STEM Arts Lab. The lab's STEM Arts Curriculum Tool is an online platform that complements real-world science and art festivals with STEAM activities and resources. She is also the developer of the CIBE Multisensory Language Curriculum for teaching Spanish and English to kids through art, music, and games.
Agnes, this is such an exciting conversation, and I'm a little bit curious. You've created installations that are in person, that are participatory, that are virtual, that are international, that are local. How do you go about integrating science and education and art and knowing what the best platform is for communicating that liminal space, for making the scientists feel good and the people who come for something beautiful feel fulfilled, and getting people involved and engaged and learning from it? When somebody comes to you with a project and says, I want to do something cool that shows people the giant web of life and magic in the universe, how do you say, oh yeah, I know exactly the approach we can take? What does that look like?
There's some new terminology now out there that describes it best. You know, we used to use the word interdisciplinary, but there's a new word that people are talking about now, which is transdisciplinary. And if you look at the difference, it's very enlightening. Interdisciplinary is just different disciplines having an exchange. But transdisciplinary is when there are different disciplines coming together around a shared project or topic. And I realized that all along, I really am more of a transdisciplinary artist. And that is kind of how I approach it. What is it we're trying to communicate? What it is that we share that we want to communicate? And then bring in people from diverse backgrounds and cultures on a topic that we're all passionate about. That's transdisciplinary. And I think that that creates a different climate of collaboration that helps to break down some barriers, as opposed to if you bring in a scientist to talk about science and then they just talk about their exciting project and they're passionate, that's great. But then they go away and there's no connection to you. Or if the artist comes in and shares their work, that's great. But then again, what's the connection? So when the scientists and the artists, and you bring in someone like Taos Pueblo and talking about, to give an example, the topic that we're exploring now, biodiversity, well, Tiana from Red Willow, the executive director, she gets all excited talking about biodiversity because she's working on food sovereignty and they have a farm, Red Willow Farm, and she talks about how it's important to their culture and how it's important to everyone. And if you bring in the scientists to talk about it, or like the bat biologist that comes and talks about it, he's going to talk about it from his perspective. And then Anna MacArthur, the artist, talking about it. I think that transdisciplinarism is a really powerful tool that I focus on. So I created this kind of model that's guided my curriculum development for STEM art since the very beginning. And there's always been a Venn diagram in the middle, like the interconnection to self, community, the universe, and then narrow it down to a specific topic like biodiversity. And that topic will change, but the interconnection, the idea that we're all connected and how do we create something that shares these values, right? If we come together with that, it does help with the collaboration.
I know several teachers right now, a couple of middle school teachers, two high school teachers, that have either come from language arts or fine arts, but they have taken a real active role in trying to bring in the math teachers and the science teachers to then do a class project with all two or the three of the classes.
Yes, and that doesn't happen a lot. It's only recently, it's very hard. We just did it at the Milagro Middle School with the 7th and 8th grade, and they're very separated into their different subjects, and they did it. Christina Gonzalez is the arts coordinator, and she worked hard. We collaborated with Megan, and we all had to get all these teachers on board, and it takes a lot because the schools are still built to the 20th century classroom model, which is separated disciplines.
Well, especially at the middle school and high school.
Right.
As opposed to the elementary school, which is more the one-room classroom.
Yes, exactly, which is why 4th and 5th grade is perfect because it's right before they go into that segregation. But then when you think of how do I apply this to arts collaborations, it's also the same thing. So if the programmer that I work with or the scientists that I work with, we're all coming together to communicate something that we believe in as opposed to a work for hire, right? If you're just hiring a coder, it's not the same as you're all coming together to work on something. Then they bring their knowledge to it and their passion to it.
We've been talking about a lot of these things sort of in conceptual ways. So you've developed this curriculum tool at StemArts. So what does that actually look like? If I was going to use this curriculum in a very practical way, what do I actually get and how would I go about using it?
So one of the things that I've been doing over the years is getting all of these ideas and all of these resources and all of these artists that I've worked with through all the festivals. They're all documented on this website. So you can go and look at the artists and select one, and then you go into the artist page, and then you hear about their work. So I'm trying to simulate the experience of going to a festival or some multimedia experience that you might have nowadays. And the student can go in and learn about the artist, but then the teacher has all these tools. They show them how, through this artist, they're going to learn about nanotechnology. Through that artist, they're going to learn about particle physics. Through this artist, they're going to learn about quantum biology. And it kind of extracts and gives them lesson guides or activity guides. And it also provides like standard alignments, which I realized early on, if you want a teacher to actually do it during school time, it better be aligned to the standards. And there's just tons of tools, and it's all free. Any teacher can come to the site and pick a festival or pick one of the STEM Arts Lab projects and go in and pick the artist. Everything always revolves around the arts. That's the other thing that's very unique about the STEM Arts curriculum tool. So even though it's an interdisciplinary, transdisciplinary approach, it's what I call artist-led. So the artist is the core, the center point. And why is that? As an artist, I can tell you that artists actually do a lot of research in their work. And a lot of people don't know this. You know, they do research and they spend their whole lifetime on one topic because that's what they're passionate about. Of course, it manifests into different exhibits and so forth. But if you really dig deep into that artist's work, there's something that they've thoroughly researched. And so if you start there, for example, working with Anna MacArthur lately, the most recent project that we did, she's been working for years in that intersection of art and ecology and biodiversity and climate change. She comes and we build this curriculum around it. Well, students can learn so much through this artist's lens about biodiversity. So then building out from the artist's work, we go out into the community. So for the Taos Land Trust project, we partnered with the Taos Pueblo, as I was mentioning, to bring in people to speak about biodiversity from the indigenous traditional ecological knowledge. And so students can go on the website and click on the videos and listen to Dr. Greg Cajete, who wrote the book on native science, and Tiana, who's running the Red Willow. And they can hear the bat biologists talk about it, and they hear the different voices.
So does the STEM Arts Lab platform also provide pointers or resources for the tools that they might need to do a project or an activity? I mean, it's not just looking at stuff on a web page.
Absolutely. So what happens is then they drill in, and then there's something called the STEM Arts Design Tool. It has the different stages of the design process. Brainstorm, explore, research, experiment, get some feedback, and then share. So every artist page has this design tool, and then it has a specific project or activities to work on. And it's not like I'm creating content. It really still is very much an open source tool. So there's something underneath that called the BioSTEAM or the STEM Arts Wiki, and that has links that we curate. I developed this with Anita McEwen back during the Isaiah curriculum tool, and it's still stayed the same. It's just gotten better over the years. So what happens is a student goes in there under the, say, the research stage, and down below there's all these links to the research that we found that relates to that artist's work and that topic. And then for the experiment part, it has do-it-yourself activities, it has STEAM activities, it has science experiments, And then in the end, a very simple project that anybody as a class can do together. So it has all of these tools ready to go to do activities using this model.
I'm thinking of all the kids casting around for self-directed learning activities this year. It just sounds like a heck of a lot of fun. But, you know, I want to go back to your STEM arts learning model because I'm sort of fascinated with it. On your model, you have the outcome is students developing divergent and lateral thinking, learning to use art to understand concepts and express ideas. That's a pretty cool outcome. You have a couple of outcomes that are like students develop valuable STEM and 21st century skills. Absolutely. Students develop understanding of connection between STEM, society, and the natural world. That's sort of a critical thinking outcome that is really exciting as a teacher, you know, to make those connections among disciplines. But the last one is under real world applications. And the outcome is that students perceive themselves as caretakers of the planet and local/global citizens, developing positive values and ethics for collaboration and community engagement. Now, I just got to say, that's a huge outcome.
Okay, I got an example of that. So when we did one of those workshops at this TESA school where we brought in a physics teacher, Shane Wood, and we beamed in Steve from CERN. But in 2016 or 17, we added an indigenous component to the Projecting Particles project. So I go to Standing Rock and I see Steve Tamayo there, this man who's putting up a teepee with the students, and he's explaining the universe and astronomy to the kids through the indigenous perspective. And I asked him if he'd like to come and join our team. And he said, yeah, I love Taos. So he came and we did our first workshop. And at the end of the workshop, where the physics teacher and him talking about the native worldview, and I asked this little boy, Noah, what did you get out of this workshop? Now remember, he's heard everything. Big Bang, Higgs boson particles, standard model, and he's done native games with Steve and so forth. And he says, well, when my brother went to step on a bug, I used to not even think about it. And now I said, stop, you can't kill that bug. And I thought, there, you see, a little thing like that, that's the one thing he thought of. And Steve talks about the respect for all species and that we're all connected. You know, it's not like he talks specifically about a bug, but he did talk about the spider as a very important symbol for the Lakota people, right? The dream catcher. This is definitely one of what's called the long-term outcome. To me, that's a sign that is definitely happening. And I've seen it in many, many ways.
It occurs to me that additional component of arts and storytelling makes it a meaningful, individualized experience, you know, where the learner becomes transformed in a way that science by itself doesn't really achieve. In your model, you have this under real-world applications. It seems like it's in the context of either these virtual collaborations or these community events. What kind of role do you see of just the magic of bringing so many people together in contributing to this moral change?
Yeah, that's a great question. So again, to use that workshop as an example, at the end of it, Steve Tamayo put up a teepee at the community center here in Taos. And of course, the kids helped to put up the teepee. We had a public event. We flew in Stephen Goldfarb for this from CERN, and they each spoke. And I had some high schoolers that had already gone through the program, and they became mentors, and they helped to take all the student work that was created to project onto the teepee. And then the public and the family came. And when it goes from just a classroom activity to something very real, where they have to now get serious because they have to present what they learned and what they created. When they saw their work projected onto this teepee, it's the same feeling we artists get. And then their parents and the community get the feeling that they get when they're blown away when they see something like that happen. And they see these ideas about Native science and Western science being communicated in this way. So that's why I put it under real world applications. You know, that's when you really see what they got out of it.
What you said about how the older students mentored the younger students, that's actually also a very real world application.
Absolutely.
It sounds like you're creating whether you meant to or not, a sustainable model.
We do have a mentorship program. I have a video and you can see the high school students there, and she's interviewed me and she's, what do you think of this? It's awesome. And she's there with her projector and she was curating the whole thing onto the teepees. Yeah.
That's a really positive note to end the program on. Agnes, thank you so much for sharing this time with us today.
Thank you, guys. You're so wonderful. Thanks for appreciating what I do, really.
And if you would like more information about Agnes and her work, you can visit stemarts.com online or agneschavez.com. Augmented Humanity is a program of the New Mexico Humanities Council, produced in partnership with KUNM-FM. You can visit us online and find out more about our programs at nmhumanities.org. Our theme music comes courtesy James Whiten, and we've had production assistance from Tristan Klum.